Good morning.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I am the pastor of New Vision for Life, New Vision for Life Church. Praise be unto God. And I thank God for the opportunity to serve his people. And as always, I have with me today my beautiful, wonderful, absolute, amazing co-host, a woman of God that I trust, a woman of God that has been my confidant for years now, someone that is able to keep me grounded. I'm telling you, keep me grounded. And I thank God for her. And it's none other than Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. How are you?
I am well as well. Praise be unto God. And you know me, no matter what the weather looks like, no matter what the day is, no matter what issues I got going on, you know I am excited. Praise be unto God.
Yes, amen.
I am excited. Yes, ma'am. And sometimes it's hard to be excited when you're in pain, you know, when you got issues, you know, whatever the case may be. But I thank God that when we think about the Lord, when we think about what he's done for us, when we think about, you know, how he's blessed us and how he loves us no matter what's going on in our life, it makes me excited. You can be excited, you know.
Amen.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, my goodness. Well, as I said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And as I think about it, I want to take a quick moment to say happy birthday to one of the members of my Bible study class here at here in my building. She'll be 75 years old today, and her name is Diane. And I just want to say happy birthday to Diane. And to God be the glory. She's a beautiful woman inside and out. And I thank God for the opportunity to minister to her and to minister with her as we do in our Bible study class. So good morning to her. And, of course, good morning to our beautiful audience, starting with Tamika Shelton. Good morning to you, beloved. God bless you. And know that all is well. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Denise in Pennsylvania, Isaiah in Chicago, Rob in Pennsylvania. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Good morning, beloved. I pray that you're improving in your health and all that surrounds you, you, your children, your grandchildren. Good morning to all of you. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Deacon Farr. Remember with Deacon Farr, his show is Issues, Christian Men Talk. And Tamika's husband is his co-host. So good morning to all of you. And again, to all of the rest of the members of New Vision for Life who come on and listen to our show. Good morning to you. Good morning, the prophetess, Kim. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. But good morning to each and every one of you. It's another beautiful day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Truly, 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 he's worthy to be praised. So trust in him. And, of course, you know I'm always turning to my co-host for prayer to get us started in the morning. And I'm going to do that right now. So, Minister Tabitha, it is in your hands, beloved.
Amen. 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 Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Again, we thank you for being a part of Heart to Heart. We thank you for waking up with us to join us on the show at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. We give kudos to you all as well, because again, you could be doing other things. You may be doing other things, but you decided to call in to support Heart to Heart, and we truly appreciate that. We truly appreciate you when you chime in, when you pray for us, when you, you know, you share what it is on your heart that you would like to share. We truly appreciate that. This platform is to represent the Lord and to make him famous. And so we know that there are other listeners in other states and other countries, and to God be the glory, because the word is getting out and the things that we share. I know, even if I don't actually have a testimonial, but I know that it is helping and touching someone. So that is all that matters, that someone is being healed and set free. So that's what our focus on is, to make God famous and to bring him glory. Not us, but to bring him glory. So that's what we are here to do. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory
to
your marvelous name. We thank you for another day. We thank you, oh God, that you woke us up this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you kept us throughout the night. I always say, Lord, that we don't know what was lurking in the area that we were in our bedrooms, in our living room, wherever we were, where we fell asleep. Lord God, we don't know what was lurking around us, wanting to take our lives, wanting to cause havoc, wanting to bring fear, Lord, but you protected us, Father. You covered us. You dispatched angels on our behalf to fight for those things that we couldn't fight for in our weak state when we are asleep. So, Father God, we thank you for that. We thank you for covering us and keeping us in the midnight hour, Lord God, the times where the witches and the warlocks and the demons, they're all out and they're trying to cause, you know, bad things to happen. But, Father, you covered and you protected us, Lord God, and we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance, Lord God. Thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Thank you, Father God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that work in us, which is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we call on you and we thank you. We thank you for fighting on our behalf. We thank you that when we call on you in the times, in the good times and the bad times, Lord, you are there for us, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you for always giving us another chance when we mess up, when we fall short, when it was something that we wanted and we felt like you were taking too long to give it to us or to answer the prayer. So we found a way to make it work for ourselves and it backfired. But Lord God, you were still there to receive us back in your loving arms. Lord, for you know that we are going to make mistakes. You know we're going to say things. You know we're going to do things. And Lord, you're still the same. You're still the same. Like, you don't change your mind about the way that you love us. No matter how much we mess up and we say, well, we're not going to do a thing and we still continue to do it, but you love us anyway. You love us in spite of. You love us in the midst of the sin that we're committing. You just love us beyond what we could ever imagine. And Father, we just want to say thank you. We thank you for our healing. We command our healing right now in the name of Jesus. We command healing to manifest in our bodies right now in the name of Jesus. So thank you, Father, for healing being manifested in our bodies now in the name of Jesus. Even if it doesn't look like it or feel like it, we still believe that healing is our portion in the name of Jesus. And we believe that by your stripes we are healed, that you went to the cross on our behalf, even for our healing, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, so we bless you and we thank you. And we thank you for Apostle Banks, Lord God, and we thank you for her healing. We thank you for her love. We thank you, Lord God, that you are doing mighty things in her and through her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that she will begin to experience new things in you, Lord God, things that she would have never thought that she would be a part of, Father, that she would be in prestigious places, Lord God, around people or high-level people, business people, Lord God, people that are true believers in you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Opportunities, Lord, will be knocking on her door in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for her faithfulness unto you and unto your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So we thank you, Father, for everything. We thank you for everything, and I thank you for those that are listening and those that will come back to listen. Lord God, do a mighty work in their lives, Lord God, and whatever it is that they're crying out to you for, Lord God, let them know that they are not forgotten. Father, we love you, we bless you, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I tell you, I thank God for the woman of God. I thank God for her ability to pray. And it's not just the ability to pray, the sincerity, the love of God, the concern as God, by the Holy Spirit, by his Spirit, gives her what it is to pray for. And I thank God and for her faithfulness. I really thank God for her faithfulness. Well, love, let's start with just last week. Last week on our show, we talked about confession and repentance, I believe it was. We spoke about confession and repentance and how important it is to confess our sins and not just confess them, but to repent. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a sermon on, it was 3 weeks ago, I think, I did a sermon that dealt with, boy, that thing is slipping my mind. Oh, Father, help me, help me, help me. In that sermon, we dealt with guilt and shame. That's what it was. We dealt with some guilt and shame in that sermon. And I mentioned the difference between guilt and shame. And when we feel guilty about something, that's the action. We did something wrong and we feel guilty. So it's about an action that has taken place. And when we feel shame, the shame comes from the guilt of what we did, and the shame now becomes the identity. It becomes a part of our identity. In other words, if I steal something, I'm feeling guilty because I took something that didn't belong to me. So I feel guilty about that. The shame of the thing is because I took that thing, because I feel guilty about it, I now identify myself, I'm a thief. So that becomes my identity. I'm a thief. I stole something. If I physically hurt somebody, I'm of hurting that person. I feel guilt. I shouldn't have done that. But now I, in my shame about it, I am now a bully. I am an abuser. You know, it becomes an identity for me, and we walk in that identity. So that's the, it's a thin line. I almost said between love and hate, but it's a thin line between guilt and shame. Remember, guilt is feeling bad about what you did. Shame is taking on the identity of what we did, and it becomes our identity. And this morning, I want us to share with you and talk to you about healing your shame and your guilt, healing that through self-forgiveness, It is so vitally important, you know, in dealing with the confession and all that we dealt with. You know, it's important it's important to confess what you've done, acknowledge it, acknowledge that you've done something wrong, acknowledge that. So many people don't want to acknowledge, and they don't acknowledge that they messed up. They feel that it's beneath them to do so, or they have fear of what the consequences will be if they acknowledge. No, if they confess that they did something wrong. Some people are in a place where, again, they feel that they are so righteous, that they are so good, they are so perfect, that they couldn't do something wrong. So they don't even acknowledge the wrong that was done. So you got to first acknowledge that you did something. Then you got to deal with the fact that you need to make confession to the person that you hurt, even if it's yourself. But confess the wrong that you've done. Confess it. And then, you know, we always tell you confession isn't the end of it. You've got to repent. You've got to turn away from things that you have done. And then, you know, you go on from there. But like I said, we want to deal with the guilt and the shame, but healing from that. And excuse me, please, I ask you to excuse me for my rough voice this morning. I literally have a sore throat, and it's hard to talk. It's hard to talk right now. But to God be the glory. Joyce, please tell Lester I need a cup of hot tea with lemon in it. Thank you so very much. And that would help right now. Excuse me. Joyce knows what I'm talking about, y'all. But anyway, we we hear a lot about the importance of forgiving those that have harmed us. You know, people, we should forgive them, but we talk very little about forgiving ourselves. Is it important that we forgive ourselves? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. It's extremely, extremely important. It isn't healthy to continuously beat ourselves up over our offense that we have caused somebody, or to determine that we are a bad person because of what we've done. The guilt of something can bring such shame and embarrassment to us, you know, that we get stuck in a place and it's hard for us to move on. It's hard for us to grow. It's hard to even be able to love people in the proper way because we're dealing with a lot of shame and guilt on ourselves. Shame, in its unhealthy form, causes us to have low self-esteem, causes us to have feelings of unworthiness, and then we begin to act out in a manner that fortifies that shame. When we are feeling unworthy, when we have low self-esteem, we deal with a lot of self-criticism. We deal with a lot of self-blame. We could end up neglecting ourselves in some way, shape, or form. Some people, you know, get so bad in the self-neglect, you know, that it comes out in hygiene and things of that nature. We could have self-destructive behavior. We can buy abusing our bodies with food, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, self-mutilation, being accident-prone. These are ways of self-destruction that we have, and we don't even realize that we are destroying ourselves a lot of times. That is because of some guilt that we have from something else. It's because now whatever it was we did, we walk around with the shame of it. We identify that we're a bad person, and we end up abusing ourselves in some way, shape, or form. We can self-sabotage, have a self-sabotaging behavior. We start fights with loved ones. We sabotage jobs. You know, you can always put yourself in a place not to succeed, not to do good by sabotaging it. You can have the attitude, I'll get them before they get me. You can have the belief that you don't deserve good things. It's just a mountain full of things that you can go through and deal with because of your shame. Listen, shame and being guilty, the shame and the guilt, it can cause you to walk in perfectionism. Now hear me when I say this. Because you feel bad about something that happened, you're embarrassed about it, you decide that you'll never let that happen again, and that's a good thing. But with that in mind, you want to be perfect in everything that you do. You are determined to be perfect. And when you are not perfect in every single thing that you do, it's another reason to beat yourself up, tell you that you're unworthy, tell you that you're no good, tell yourself that you're no good, and you perfectionism, it has a spirit behind it. It causes you not only, you know, driving yourself crazy trying to be perfect, but then you also are able to look at other people and see their imperfection, and it causes you to be in a place of judgment of what other people, how other people are, because you're making this comparison because you're working to be perfect and everybody else should be doing the exact same thing. There are people that have intense rage. It could be road rage. It could be frequent physical fights, and not just road rage. I know people that I've talked to, and they burst out in a rage in a conversation. They'll end up cussing you out, all kinds of things of this nature. And all of this is coming from, all of this is coming from dealing with guilt and shame. And these are things that we must forgive ourselves for. We must work through forgiving ourselves for. It's absolutely important. Beloved, is there anything that you would like to pitch in with at this moment?
I just wanted to say that self-forgiveness, it's a big thing, because like you said, we focus so much on forgiving other people, in which that's the right thing to mm-hmm. do. And however, when we ask people for forgiveness, and let's just say they do or they don't receive you know, your forgiveness. But a lot of times then we leave it there, and then we're still bound because we haven't forgiven ourselves for what happened. And so we're constantly trying to figure out, like, but why, you know, am I still feeling this way, or why am I still going through whatever? And one of the biggest things is because we haven't forgiven ourselves. We put a lot of energy in wanting the person we offended to forgive us, but we didn't put that same energy into forgiving ourselves. So that is a big thing that we have to make sure that we focus on, is forgiving ourselves. Because yes, there are going to be times when we say things that is going to offend someone else, even if there was no malice behind it when you said it. You know, a lot of people don't like the truth. A lot of people don't like you telling them the truth about a situation, because people want to be comfortable in their sin, or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. So the moment that you say something to them about it, to them, they view that as offensive. They will find every little thing to say that you hurt them and that you offended them. In reality, you were helping them, you know, out of that trap that they're in, that they don't see that they're in. And so when you approach people about a sin that they are actively participating in, then you have to be have to have your armor on for the what's going to come next from them, the backlash that's going to come from them, because they're comfortable in what it is that they're doing. And so when they lash out at you, you have to make sure you don't take that on as guilt or shame. Like, you have to make sure that the whatever the backlash, they're lashing out at you, don't receive that. Don't take that on and internalize that. You have to remember that we are the mouthpiece of God here on the earth, and we are supposed to share the gospel. And sharing the gospel is going to come with people not liking you, people lashing out at you, people, you know, calling you all kinds of names and whatever, because you have ruffled their feathers, and you have stirred up something that they don't want you to stir up. And when it comes to, so when it comes to things like that, you have to be strong, put on your armor, be bold, and not let that cause you to go into a shell. Don't take on what they say, you know, the things that come out of their mouth, don't take that on as an offense. You know, they are lashing out because of, you know, all the things that it's basically that you're stirring up the enemy and you're causing him to be angry and upset. So the things that are coming out of their mouth, is a lot of it is coming from the enemy to cause you to shut up. But again, we have to be mindful of those things. Yes, what they're going to say, it's going to hurt you, but it's not about you. It's not really for you. And so we have to also keep that in mind. And I just quickly want to share this scripture. Isaiah 53:5-6. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us to fall on him. So you remember, all of that has fallen on the Lord. So it's not yours to carry. And so we have to remember all of these things. You find a favorite scripture, hold on to that scripture for times when you have to basically fold somebody's sin, because it's going to be a time when you may have to face that, you know, head on. And so you just have to make sure that you are covered by your armor, that you have prayed, and that you don't let what comes out of people's mouth, you know, cause you to go into a dark place yourself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Babies, beloved, I want to remind y'all once again that this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And therefore, if there's something that you would like to share, whether it be a testimony, whether it be a question, whether it be a comment on what we're, you know, what it is that we're saying, you agree, you disagree, if you have a scripture that you would like to share along the line, please press 1 on your keypad, and that will let us know that you would like to say something, and we will definitely bring you in to the conversation. That is all part of the heart-to-heart discussion that we have. You are part of this discussion. Praise be unto God. In fact, you're the star of the show. Next to Jesus Christ, you are the star of the show. So, again, what Minister Tabika was saying is so absolutely true. And and dealing with that, the idea of self-forgiveness, let me use this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And that was 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I want to read that to you also from another version. Another version. That was the King James Version. Let me read this version to you. It says, anyone who is born again in Christ is a new creation. Old values have passed away, and new values have taken over. All this is done for us by God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and changed us from his enemies into his friends. He has now given us the ministry of reconciliation and the privilege of inviting others to become his friends. And in both versions, as you see, it's talking about the fact that who we were, that guilty person that is full of shame, that person that has identified themselves with what they say about themselves, what other people have said about themselves, whether those people be mother, father, sister, brother, your friend, your teacher, your pastor, your enemy, whatever it is that was spoken into your spirit, and your spirit man grabbed a hold of that negative thing, that negative thought, and you watered it, you festered in it, you lived in it, you became what they said you were, and what you even said you were. You became that thing, and God said, you're in me now through the blood of Jesus, through what Jesus did in the cross, and you are no longer that person. That is not who you are. You are not that person. You are a new creature in me. You are born again, new beginnings. You have the opportunity to live and be what Jesus has said that you could be, what God created you to be. That's the beauty in being in Christ Jesus and letting go of the things that have been done and becoming what God wants you to become. A lot of people have difficulty with the self-forgiveness because they feel like they're letting themselves off the hook and they need to beat themselves up daily. And beating themselves up daily is a place that they have walked in comfort with. But we have to come out of that place and be what God has called us to be, believe what God has called us to be. When we change our thought pattern about who we are, that opens up the door for us to change. It opens up the door for us to forgive ourselves and to become what God wants us to become. Self-forgiveness is what opens the door to change. And that is so vitally important. Not many of us, if we stop and think about what we're doing to ourselves, how we are treating ourselves, the lack of love we have for ourselves. So many people try to overcome what they've done by overdoing and trying to be good to everybody. And I don't mean that there's something wrong with being good, but they feel better if they're doing good for somebody else all the time. And this is to relieve them of their negative feeling about themselves, There are other people that will do wrong to other people to make themselves feel good. And then there are those people that will try to do good for everybody so they will feel good about themselves. And if they're doing good for everybody, then everybody will say, oh, you're such a good person, such a nice woman, a nice man, or everybody should be like you. And so they're stroking you, and it makes you feel good about you, but deep down inside, you're still beating yourself up. And so you continue to walk in that vein. And shame can just make us do a lot of things, but thank God for forgiveness. Thank God, first of all, that he has forgiven us. Thank you, Lord, for that he has forgiven us. And then,
excuse me, we have a caller.
Oh, okay, I didn't see them. Go ahead, please, honey.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't see their hand up anymore. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, another hand.
There it is. And that's our Deacon Farr. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Amen. Amen. I'm wonderful. How are you ladies doing this morning?
Well,
wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. That was me. I was calling another line, so y'all didn't recognize me, so I had to go find my cell phone. Amen. but, you know, I was listening to what y'all was saying, and I think, you know, you're right. It's a couple of things that I just wanted to confirm, because I think this is something that people deal with, especially if if you experience a lot of things and you were a different person before Christ and even in Christ, that, you know, you there's a grace of God for a reason, because we're not perfect, because we are, we have to remember who we are, that we are sinners in need of grace. And we have to take that grace of God and know that God, when God says he's forgiven us and he's cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and the scriptures that give us that assurance if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. So now we can't be, you know, a preacher said this a long time ago, and I think people say it now, we can't be more judgmental on ourselves than God is. Otherwise, Christ died in vain.
And
like the scripture, like the scripture you quoted was, you're a new creature now. You have to believe you're a new creature. If you don't believe you're a new creature in the little things, then in the big things, so no matter what you believe, you believe that you're still going to hell if you're not a new creature, if you're not covered in the blood. And I think you have to embrace and take who we are as Christians, as children of God. Now we have to walk that thing out, you know. And when it comes to people, I'll share this, because, you know, it was a year or so ago, and I was with some folk who knew me before I was saved, and they said something to me. They said something to me to remind me how I used to be. And then I got upset with them, but they knew me when I was doing those things. And then I had to go back and ask them to forgive me because I snapped at them. But they knew exactly who I was. But they see that I'm not that now. So that you know, it got me a little upset. But then I went back and said, yeah. I said, wait, that's God using me in their life to show them what God can do, because they knew exactly who I was. You see, so when we have to deal with the things that we've done and understand that we are forgiven and now walk in that thing. And press into that thing. And then again, you know, I know a lot of folk, a lot of believers, their personal ministry is based on the things they used to do. You know, we talk about people who had addiction problems, people who had homelessness. They had all these struggles and things, and then come to Christ, and now God uses them to minister to those who had those same things to give them hope. So I think a lot of it is, when we struggle with forgiveness, do we really believe what God has said about us? And now how can what I've been through help somebody else? I mean, it's a process. I'm not going to say it's, you know, it's instant, add milk and stir. To remember what the gospel says and what God has done, what has Christ done, and the Holy Spirit that's now living in you, how are you going to do that? And that you are forgiven because you are his child now. You know, and I think we forget that in the church. We I don't know if we take it for granted. We become accustomed to it. We're accustomed to hearing it so much, and we don't see the value in what we are and who we are in Christ, and that the grace of God is covering us now. So now we can walk in forgiveness. I don't have to think about what I used to did. I mean, done. Excuse me, my English. But we have a certain spiritual confidence now, because the Word of God is where my foundation is now. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature, no matter what I've done, and even the things I've done to people. I mean, we can talk about reconciling. We can ask for forgiveness. But it's something we learn also is I ask for forgiveness. I confess. I try to take amends, but I'm not carrying the burden of what if they still see me that way, treat me that way, or don't want to forgive me, should not hinder who I am in Christ Jesus. And what God is going to do with me in my life. I can't let, you know, because even in the church, I'm going to make sure I be clear for those who are listening. Even in the church, carry grudges, because we know. That's a whole other show. But I don't hinder who I know who God is, because it's God's heaven. It's the presence of God I'm looking. It's to stand before him and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, is what I'm living for now. And I'm not going to let other folk with dealing with their issues try to hinder me or keep me from what God has for me and how God can use me. So I just would encourage anybody who's dealing with that unforgiveness of yourself, Let it go. Mm-hmm. Remember who you are and whose you are. I mean, that's that basic sermon gospel we preach. I heard you preach it, so I know. So that's, I think, what we have to encourage. But remember who you are and whose you are. And don't let man take you from, remove you from being God's child. Amen?
Amen. 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 You know, one of the things, Deacon, that I also was receiving and hearing and while you were speaking is the fact that we are who Jesus says we are, okay? We are forgiven. We shouldn't be walking in the old man. We should be walking in the new man. One of the things that people have problems with is receiving the blessing of God, receiving what God says. We have been so messed up with all of the negative stuff that even after salvation, we have difficulty receiving the fact that God really loves us, you know, that God really has forgiven us, that I am a different person. We have not received that word. And by reading the word, the tells us to renew our mind by the reading of the word. And by reading God's word and meditating on his word, that will help us to renew our minds and be able to believe what God has said about us. We have believed the negative things. We have believed what the world said. We believed what the enemy said. We believed all of that for so long that once we get saved, we find it difficult to believe what God said. And it's almost like we're saying, God, you really made a mistake. I'm not that good. I'm not that person. And it's because we haven't received it. I just want to encourage people that no matter what man has said, no matter what people have said about you, I don't care who they are, no matter what they say, God's word is above all of that. What he is your creator, so he knows who you are. Nobody else knows who you really are but God. He knows, and what he says about you is what matters. And you have to come to that place in the word through faith, walking in the grace of God, that God said this about me, and that's what I choose to hold on to. That's what I choose to believe, what God has said about me, not what man is saying about me, not even what I said about me. So as you're going through the forgiveness issue, a self-forgiveness, as you're going through that, ask God, first of all, as well, to forgive you for not believing what he said about you. And again, then say, I forgive myself. We have another caller here, please. Denise, it looks like Denise from Pennsylvania. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. With forgiveness, let me start here. People who have been hurt by other people and have devastating hurt, they need to get healed. And sometimes they think, well, the only way I can be healed is to talk about it. I need to talk about what my hurt was. I need to talk about what someone did to me. Every time you repeat that story, you feel the pain of it and you feel the hurt, and that causes you actually to not get healed. What they need to do is go to the person who offended them in private and talk to that person, and they need to forgive that person so they can be healed. The word tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. As Christians, we are to show the love of Christ. And once we get saved, we're to confess our sins to God, ask God to heal us, and then not walk in that sin. And then we can go back and we can make right with people that we have offended. Or, like I said, if they come to you, you can apologize if you know. But I think sometimes people think the only way they can get healed is, well, I got to go on national TV and tell everyone and then say, but I thank God that he healed me. No, he didn't, because you're not covering their sin. And I think one of the reasons that people don't want to confess their sin is that they think they have to go public with it. Your sin is truly between you and God. What you have to go public with is, once you have accepted what Christ has done, you change. You make that conscious decision to turn from that. Then you're not trying to, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of cooking. You're not going to try and cover your sin. Because, like you said, all those things that people do, the goodness, the being perfect, they're trying to cover their sin. And the reason they're trying to cover it is because people, even Christians, don't want to let you forget your sin, how you used to be. And so Christians, I think, have to make it easier for people who have sinned to accept the forgiveness of God. But when we try and hang on to our sin and say, well, you know, if God saved me, and I believe God saved me, I said the words, you know, so I believe, and then they don't try and change, that then becomes different. And so it's like a two-part thing. It's part us and part them. And, you know, the word tells you, if you go to a brother, like, don't even take communion if there's something there. Because, see, you're not getting over. He said, leave your gift at the altar and go make right. Go deal with that issue. But that doesn't mean that, well, because I've been hurt and I need to publicly shame them and that'll bring my healing. The shame, you know, I can remember being little and mommy used to always tell me I was mean. And that was because I spoke up. If someone did something to me, I kind of kept it quiet more. But if they did something to someone else, I'm ready to fight. There's this natural protector that seems to be in me. And I would go at them and people said, well, you're mean. No, I'm not going to let you harm someone else. And I believe in the kingdom, that's how we should be, you know, protectors. You go, like, I'll talk to you, I'll tell you. But I have found even, like, when I get angry, I'm more angry at the devil than I am the person, because I feel mm-hmm. like, listen, you are allowing the devil to pull you in even deeper. How we handle things is just so important. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. Forgiveness that starts that healing process. And I found myself, people come and tell me, and some of the things they tell me, and I'm just as nice as I can be. And the reason I am is because of the fact that I'm not trying to put shame on you for what you did. I'm trying to help you heal from what you did. But am I going to require that you do what is right? Yes, I am. And that's the thing. There is a requirement. And listen, Jesus said, and I love what Minister Tabika said, it's not you they're angry at. It's God. God told Samuel, when the people were asking for a king, he said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. So we must always keep in mind if someone is getting upset, if you go to them and confront them about something they did that hurt you or they make an excuse for it, they are rejecting Christ. They're rejecting God, not you. And you can, like they said, shake the dust off your feet and go your way. And you don't have to, well, I went to them and I told them. And no, you don't have to do any of that. You let it go. And I think too many times Christians don't let it go. And that's why Christians don't see full healing, because they don't let it go. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your input. Thank you for your comments. Thank you. Does anybody have any response, remark, or anything on what was just said? We're good. The only thing then that I want to say, I'm trying to be careful here. There is a time, okay, when you spoke about people speaking that hurt over and over and over and over and over again and going public with it or whatever, and I'm trying to put it all in context here, put it all in context and trying to make the part of it, because part of it, it was like you were saying that people that are saying this stuff over and over and over again, they're continuing to deal in their pain, or if they're telling what somebody else did about them, they are embarrassing that person, so they're not covering that person that hurt them. There is a time to, and especially it's after your healing, not before the healing. There is a time when you do give that testimony about how God brought you from that place and what God has done in your life. Not, you don't have to give the name of anybody that did anything, but to tell what that hurt was, and it was a was, to tell that you're healed, how God has advanced you, how you've grown through it, and you tell that story so that others that are walking through it have hope that they too can be healed and delivered. That is the purpose of a testimony. And there's a difference of talking about it before you're healed and talking about it after you heal, you're healed. There is a big
Amen.
Difference. There is a big difference. And none of us have gone through what we have gone through, and then God does what he does in us for us to keep it to ourselves, and nobody else knows about it, and nobody else is receiving the hope from what we've done. People, Christians, the church is filled with Christians that are full of shame and guilt for what they did, and they see those of us that are in the pulpit, those of us with titles, that we're living these perfect lives, we've never done anything wrong, God's never had to do anything for us because we were so good, and many of us have come through rape, domestic violence, we were abusers, this, that, and the other, but God changed all of that. And we got healed from that. And if we don't tell the people that, the people then don't have any hope of the glory and the grace of God, because they already are in a bad place, and they're looking at those of us that are teaching and preaching the word as you never dealt with it. I've had people say to me, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't. Yes, I do understand it because I went through it. And God brought me through that thing. And so there's a place to tell the story. So, Denise, how do you feel about that?
I look at two examples in the Bible, and I'm going to use Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he gave he had a testimony that everyone knew. I like what the minister said, who was right before me, Deacon, I think, Barr or Farr. But anyway, he said the people mentioned to him what he did because they knew him. That was one. And his testimony was, I'm not that person anymore. God has changed me. Okay?
Right.
That's one where what you've done has been very public, and so people know. Then Apostle Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do.
Mm-hmm.
He was not telling the people what those things were. And we don't have to do that to have a testimony. We don't have to be explicit. There are some things that had happened to me in my life, and I have been healed. I honestly don't let those things bother me. I don't walk in the shame of those things. I don't, because God healed me. And I didn't have to go around and tell everyone what somebody did to me to get healed. What I had to do was forgive that person, talk to God about it.
Stop right there for a moment.
Okay.
You said you didn't have to go around telling everybody to get healed. And that's not what I said.
Right.
Okay. I said it's after your healing comes your testimony, not before
right.
your healing.
And that's what I'm getting to. Oh. So when someone approaches me or I'm talking to someone who's weak, I can identify with so many things that have happened to people. And I have that one-on-one with them, and I let them know that I can tell them about the grace, the mercy, the healing virtue of God. And I'm saying to you, I don't have to go public with that and, like I said, do all the – I'm not sure – okay, look at the disciples. Look at them. None of them were perfect. And who knows what they did? It's not written. And I think sometimes we think in order to heal someone, we got to tell everyone, again, like what the sin is. No, everyone has sinned. That is it. That is the testimony. Everyone has sinned. Nobody is perfect. And no one has come to Christ who has not sinned. That is the testimony. Your life is changed. You do not have to uncover someone's nakedness in order for that person to know that God can heal you. If that is what they are seeking the wrong thing. You don't.
If what is what they're seeking?
Huh?
You said if that is what they're seeking. If what is what they're seeking, I don't know what that is.
To uncover a person's nakedness. The nakedness. If what they are seeking is to uncover a person's nakedness, they are seeking the wrong thing. I'm talking about people who come to you and they're saying, and when I say you, it can be anyone, because I've had people
come
and tell me, and they were upset when I didn't get upset at the person. I mean, not too long ago, it was some woman, I didn't even know her. And she was telling me about how terrible her mother treated her. And forgive her. Oh, well, you don't know what it's like. She says, she says the wrong thing to me. No. I know what it's like to be told something about you that may not be true. But you cannot let it control you. You cannot let it make you bitter. You cannot let it make you, I got to get even. You have to forgive. And the testimony, some people are so busy, they're giving a testimony about themselves and they're not giving a testimony about God. We're to testify of the good things that God has done. No, I'm talking about there are so many people who are giving their testimony is not, I was a sinner, but God healed me. I think Apostle Paul said I was a sinner of sinners. That's it.
Yeah.
But God
Absolutely.
Changed my life. I don't walk that way anymore. Right. So what I'm saying is we don't have to get into detail that shames. And then when you walk down the block, people, oh, yeah, I know who that, but you remember the testimony? No, we don't have to do that. And I think sometimes people run from the church because they're afraid, I got to get up and I got to expose my nakedness, because if I don't, they're going to expose it. And I'm saying we need to be careful about this testimony thing. We need to be careful because we're to testify of God, not of ourselves. We're to testify of God's goodness, not of what I went through. Every time we go over what the devil has put me through, we're giving him glory. We're magnifying him. And then God gets this little snippet on the end, but the Lord saved me. The Lord changed me. I remember one pastor, he came to me and he said, I asked him about this, it was a singer who was trying to get started, and the pastor was in charge of the radio station, and, you know, he would put on songs to get people to hear him and, of course, buy their songs. And so I said, well, there's this one person who's a rapper, and I said, I know they send you their music, but you never play it. He said, because they're always giving credit to the devil. He said, the songs are written more about what the devil has done to them than what God has done for them. The testimony, and I said, oh, well, yeah, you're right about that. Because honestly, I didn't like their music, and that was the reason I didn't like their music, because that person sang so much about what the devil had done to them that I didn't like it. And that pastor came and he told me the same thing. He said, they're glorifying the works of the enemy, not God. And I'm saying we have to be careful that our testimonies glorify God and not the enemy. We have to be careful of that. And sometimes that means covering someone else's shame. And that and that gives a dual healing, because if the person who heard you give that testimony, knowing that you could have fingered them and you didn't, they are seeing the grace and the love and the mercy of God. And we have to think, what is the purpose of the testimony?
I agree with that. I don't believe that the testimony is to expose anybody, okay? That is not what a testimony is supposed to be about, exposing anyone. The testimony is supposed to be about what God has brought you from. That's your testimony, not you exposing anybody at all. It's never about exposing what somebody you can talk about what was done, but you're not supposed to be talking about the person that did it. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
You're not supposed to talk about the person that did it. You don't drop names. You don't have to go through all of that. But the testimony is supposed to be about what God brought you from, what God saved you from. That is where God gets the glory, okay? That is where God gets the glory in what has been done. I definitely know about, you know, doing the one-on-one. When I talk about the things that I've been through with rape, there are times I talk about it openly, and no names are given, you know, the name isn't given, but it's a thing. I came through rape, how it stifled my life, how I became a prison in my own home, how I couldn't go, I couldn't do anything, was afraid of this, that, and the other. And yet, through prayer, through fasting, through believing what God said about me, not keeping the shame of it all and so forth, how God delivered me and healed me from that thing. There are times I give that testimony just like I'm saying now. I give that publicly. There are times when I'm standing at an altar full of people, and a woman will come to the altar and say, I'm having migraine headaches. Would you pray for me? and I'll pray for her, but then get in her ear and tell her, sweetheart, you got to forgive him or you got to forgive her for what she did, because God has given me the discernment to know that this person has been raped and they haven't said it, and I'm not going to say it out loud to the congregation. This person's been raped, you know, let's pray for her. No, I give her that personal talk in her ear, okay?
Exactly.
And, you know, so I do that. So there's a time that when I say what I say about my overcoming through the blood of Jesus, and I'll give that public testimony, and then there's the times when I have to do that one-on-one right at the altar sometimes in that person's ear and saying what is being, you know, what God is saying. I'm not even saying that, I'm not even saying to the person that got raped, you've been raped. All I'm saying to them is you have to forgive that person, whoever it is, you know who it is, you have to forgive them for what they did. You have to forgive. And they'll be the one to expose to me that, you know, they were molested or this, that, and the other. You know, so there is a way to handle testimony. There is a way to handle testimony. There is a way of forgiving others, and there's a way that we have to walk through in forgiving ourselves, okay? There's a way that we have to walk through in forgiving ourselves, and all of this, all of the forgiveness only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed within us after we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because we have nothing in us in our natural state to want to forgive other people, because
exactly.
We are all sinners. We're
right.
All sinners.
And that's,
no, no,
that's
no, not
what
we
I'm
are
about.
All sinners. Wait a minute. I got a problem with saying we are all sinners. We were all sinners, because are is present tense. And I am not a sinner today. I am not. I was a sinner. Now I'm a child of Christ, and I may at some point in time, even maybe on a daily basis, sin, but I know how to get to God quickly about it, okay? I am not a sinner today. I am a child of God. I am clothed in Jesus' righteousness. I was a sinner. We all were sinners. We all have sinned. And we better get those words right. We better get those. You cannot be a child of Christ and you are a sinner. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a child of Christ, and yes, I sinned today. The sinner is one who has sinned without repentance. They sin without accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. The sinner, that's who you are before Christ. That's who you are before Christ. We all were sinners, every single one of us. Every single one of us. Okay, beloved.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm not saying
go ahead.
that a person shouldn't go to their pastor, you know, or, you know, if they're going for therapy or something and, you know, they can't tell it. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about how the enemy wants us more or less to get revenge by uncovering nakedness. And what they don't understand is that retribution. You know, God said, look, don't you try and get evil even. I'll take care of it. I will repay.
Vengeance is mine.
And a lot of times people are trying to repay the person who hurt them by telling. And that keeps them from getting healed. That's what I'm coming after and talking about. Because we want people healed.
Totally. But we kind of went off of our topic of doing, you know, forgiving ourselves. We kind of went off a topic about that. But I just wanted it to be clear.
That's why we're saying this is why sometimes people can't forgive themselves, because their sin is played over and over. You know, every time someone exposes your sin, it's hard for you because you're realizing, man, what I did, it messed up my life. It's like being a felon. You did a crime once, and for the rest of your life, you're paying that price. And that's what I'm saying. And they can't forgive themselves because they know that they messed up. And I'm saying we can forgive ourselves with the help of others. And by people, you know, coming to us and letting us know we've been forgiven. And what I mean is that they're not holding that against us anymore. That helps in that forgiveness process. It's a two-part thing, part on you and part on the person who offended you. But we can help them in that. That's that love covering that multitude of sin. And it helps the person, you know, they can tell about it, you know, but they're still walking in their shame. And they're walking in it because someone is not letting them forget their shame. Someone's not coming. That's why I said go to that person. Now you have started their healing process as well as your own. And you can find, wow, we're healed. We are healed. But it was something that God worked out between you. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All righty.
Sometimes you can't get to that person.
Right. Right. I was like, what? Okay, yeah, I heard what you said. It blinked out for a second, but I got what you said. All right,
okay.
Baby, thank you once again. It's always interesting. Well, you stir up good conversation, girl. and I love it. I love it. All right, thanks to God. Listen, thank you to Denise. Thank you to Deacon Farr. Thank you again, Minister Tabika. Thank you, those of you that were listening, and I know that things have been stirred up in you as well. Look, don't hesitate on coming on, saying what's on your heart, sharing your opinion, and we will either agree with you or we'll disagree with you, but you know what? We will always love you. We will always love you in Christ Jesus. Baby, I love you all. I pray that you have a blessed week. When you go to church on tomorrow, if you are going to church, hey, you go and you take the love of the Lord. You take a praise in your heart. Don't wait to get there to praise God. Praise him in your home. Praise him in your car. Praise him before you get online. Give God the glory and the honor because truly he is worthy. And saints of God, those of you that are saved, you are forgiven. Forgive yourself and walk in the goodness of what God has for you. I love you, and remember, no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more in Jesus' name. Take care. God bless. See you, Minister Tabika. God bless you, baby.
God bless.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.